This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And everyone listening all around the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And with me today is beautiful, talented, intelligent Kerry. Not Kerry Kasem. A different Kerry. Kerry is on vacation. I'm not sure where Kerry is. She's saving the world somewhere. So we got the next best Kerry we could here in the studio to co-host the show. And it's Kerry Garvis Wright from Glaser Weil, one of our favorite law firms. We had Patty Glaser on the show in August, and we had a great show with her. Kerry Garvis Wright is an entertainment litigator, an employment litigator, a business litigator. She represents some of the most well-known people around. She mentored under Patty Glaser. Kerry Garvis Wright, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thank you for having me. Kerry with a Y.
Kerry with a Y. Come up to your microphone, Kerry with the Y. I want to hear that wonderful voice that you persuade all the judges in court. You're a tough lawyer.
So they say.
So they say. We are so happy to have you here. And, of course, you work with Patty Glaser and all the fine folks at Glaser Weil. Now, in the news, of course, this year we've talked about Harvey Weinstein, and we heard that Harvey Weinstein is a client of Glaser Weil.
Indeed he is.
And have you worked with him?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do.
Wow. And how are you involved with Harvey?
Well, that's a loaded question. I am involved with Harvey. We're representing Harvey in his litigation against the Weinstein Company, who we contend wrongfully terminated him. You may have seen his contract. It's a matter of public record.
Right.
His employment contract, which is an interesting contract, to say the least.
So what you're saying is that the company actually condoned some of this stuff by allowing a contractual situation that provided an out for Harvey if he was accused of some of these heinous type activities.
That's exactly right. Take a look at the contract. I think it, as I said, it's a matter of public record.
Right.
And it effectively condones the behavior that they're now complaining of, and they use as the basis for having fired him. So as long as Mr. Weinstein paid whoever might have made a claim.
You can call him Harvey.
Okay, Harvey.
H.W.
H.W. Let's call him H.W.
H.W.
As long as H.W. were to pay any claims that came his way arising out of alleged conduct.
Right.
And paid the company a fee. Let's call it a liquidated damages.
Right.
Right. $250,000 for the first time, $500,000 for the second time, and it kept on going. So
it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
If you escalate it the way that HW did. You know, it's interesting because we've had so many criminal attorneys on this show, and they all say that everyone is entitled to a defense. Kerry Kasem, who isn't with us today, often likes to ask people like Tom Mesro, who's on the show, Jerry Spence, a legend, F. Lee Bailey, some of these folks, how can you represent someone who some people consider to be scum? And their answer is always the same thing, that in order to have a legal system, for the credibility of our legal system, we need to have people provided a defense, especially when, in this case with H.W., it doesn't seem like the company really was acting in good faith.
I couldn't agree more. And that's what I had to explain to my 9-year-old son when he asked, Mom.
Cooper.
Cooper. He said, Mom, you're representing HW? And so we had an interesting conversation where my nine-year-old actually asked me, Mom, what's the difference between sexual misconduct and sexual harassment? This is what nine-year-olds are talking about, apparently.
I wasn't when I was nine, but, you know, in this environment, I guess people are talking about it. And it's great that you can give him a really reasonable, rational, and valid answer to these difficult questions because you are in the know, being someone who has that kind of experience.
I tried, although he then cross-examined me and said, I would have thought that sexual misconduct was worse. I said, bottom line, just be good, respect everybody, and you won't have any problems.
And that's a great, great strategy to talk to with your kids. You know, bring it down to a level where they can understand so it's not so complex. And, of course, we had Dove Charney on the show a couple times, and your firm represented Dove Charney at one time, and then he sued your firm, and now I guess you're suing him back. So. And Dove Charney, for those of you who don't know, he was the founder of American Apparel. He rose to the top of the fashion world and then with a thump was let go from American Apparel for some questionable activities at work.
Our firm represented past tense. Yeah. Dove Charney. I worked on those cases. A constellation of cases similar to the HW type of cases. But let me correct one thing. We sued him first, and then he sued us back.
Really? Yeah, because he said that he thought, when he was on the show, he said he wouldn't mention the firm, but he said that, you know, there's a question of malpractice, which, of course, is ridiculous. And I said that to him. You know, attorneys are going to do what they're going to do, and for a client after the fact to say, oh, you didn't do a good job. Well, you know what? Maybe the facts weren't there. I don't know.
Well, let me just say this. Malpractice is a common defense to a claim that he owes us fees.
Right.
Oftentimes that happens.
Exactly. And that's what it all comes down to. As attorneys, we like to get paid. We work hard. We should get paid. And I'm sure you're no different because I like to get paid with my firm.
That's how it works.
So today we're going to talk about some things that are not HW oriented. And we're not talking about Harvard Westlake either. That's Harvey Weinstein. We're not going to talk about DC, and that's Washington DC, or Dove Charney. What we're going to talk about, which is so intriguing to so many people, is online reviews of businesses and services. Are you a big online reviewer?
I am not. I am not a Yelper at all.
You're not?
No.
You know, I'm not either.
I'm not even on social media. I am off the grid.
You didn't tweet about this show today?
I had surrogates tweet for me.
Good. I love it when surrogates tweet. I do the same thing. Genevieve Wong is the best surrogate I ever had. And Carrie Kasem, of course. But, you know, the issues that we deal with now include so many complex issues. And later on the show, we're going to bring on Eric Goldman, who is a leading expert in internet law. He is a professor at the Santa Clara School of Law, and he was probably one of the first people who taught internet law back in 1995-96. And he also works with doctoredreviews.com, which he tries to allow a forum for people to review doctors and lawyers. And the issue with doctors and lawyers is we all have confidentiality for our clients and for doctors for their patients. And the question is, if someone goes online and trashes a lawyer or trashes a doctor, should they be able to do so when we can't disclose certain information to rebut, so to speak, whatever the trashing is?
I don't know the answer to that, but you're exactly right. There's patient confidentiality, which would preclude a robust defense, I suppose, to whatever the patient might be saying about the doctor. So
right.
It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say.
And I want to hear it. And we're going to have a doctor call in, Dr. Jason Berkley, who's a fine doctor here in Los Angeles, neurologist, a pain medicine doctor. And, you know, he has some opinions on this, and he's going to talk with Professor Goldman, who is really a freedom of expression, freedom of speech guy. And we'll hear the doctor's perspective at all as well. So that will be important. And then later on the show, we're going to have Laurent Crenshaw on the show. He's the director of public policy at Yelp. He's a lobbyist in D.C. for Yelp, and he knows a little bit about Yelp. So for those of you who have problems with Yelp or love Yelp, You can call the show. It's 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. If you want to talk about your Yelp reviews, whether good or bad, whether you're a business or whether you're a consumer, Laurent Crenshaw will be on the show a little bit later. We're going to lead off with Curtis Hill, although I'm looking to see, is Curtis going to be on the show? We don't know. We're going to take a break, but Curtis Hill is the Attorney General for Indiana, and he's supposed to be on the show. Old Curtis said that he would be on the show because he wants to talk about a case in Indiana where the state is suing the Abbey Inn over a policy that they had where they actually charged one of the hotel guests $350 for a bad review. Someone went and stayed at the Abbey Inn, put a bad review online, and the Abbey Inn had a policy that if you give us a bad review, we're going to charge your credit card $350. Well, Curtis Hill doesn't think that's appropriate, and he's suing the Abbey Inn. So hopefully, Curtis, I know it's a different time zone in Indiana, but we're hoping that the 43rd Attorney General in Indiana will call in. If he doesn't, we've got plenty of other people who will weigh in on this topic. Carrie, it's so nice to have you here with us today. And we will take a quick break, and then we will be back to talk to someone about this issue of online reviews. It's 800-222-5222. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Disclaimer, you will not be transported to the top of the world. In the unlikely event you find yourself at the Arctic Circle, seek shelter from the elements immediately to avoid frostbite and or hypothermia. Geico will not be responsible if you find yourself in a cave or crevasse with a lonely abominable snowman, who in all likelihood will force you to play games including but not limited to Go Fish, Charades, Chinese Checkers, or his personal favorite, Red Rover, Send Yeti on Over. Geico is not liable for any damages, either physical or emotional.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every day, starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy with smart search features, photos, and more. Zillow, find your way home.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here. Folks keep asking me how KFC can afford to fit two pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, taters and gravy, a biscuit, a medium drink, and a cookie into my KFC $5 fill-ups and still sell them for just $5. Well, I saved a little money by only paying for 25 seconds of this here 30-second commercial. KFC, it's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time, prices may vary. Tax extra. Extra charge for breast piece and side item substitution may apply.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
Disclaimer, you will not be transported to the top of the world. In the unlikely event you find yourself at the Arctic Circle, seek shelter from the elements immediately to avoid frostbite and or hypothermia. Geico will not be responsible if you find yourself in a cave or crevasse with a lonely abominable snowman, who in all likelihood will force you to play games including but not limited to Go Fish, Charades, Chinese Checkers, or his personal favorite, Red Rover, Send Yeti on Over. Geico is not liable for any damages, either physical or emotional.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah. We got some music leading me in here, Keith. Come on, dude. I can't do this by myself. Carrie, do you do music?
Do I do music?
Yeah, can you sing something
no,
for me?
No, you don't want me to do that. No.
You know, and it's too bad because Curtis Hill, who the 43rd Attorney General of Indiana, who's supposed to be on the show right now and we're still waiting for him, has been in so many musical productions. He was in Guys and Dolls, and, you know, I would love to ask him to sing something from Guys and Dolls, like, you know,
wasn't
like, luck be a lady tonight.
No.
He was not in Hamilton,
okay.
But he probably should be.
Okay.
He's been in a lot of shows, and he's not calling in, so we're not going to hear about the Abbey Inn. I'm with Carrie Garvis, right? If you missed the first part of the show, she is with Glazer Weil, entertainment litigator, employment litigator, business litigator, representing Harvey Weinstein, had represented Dove Charney at some point or against him for him. Who knows? We'll have to ask Keith Fink, Dove Charney's attorney, to decide what the heck is going on with Dove these days. But we know what's going on with Harvey. And we also we're going to talk about online reviews, and who better While we wait for Curtis Hill, the Attorney General of Indiana, to call in, who better to talk to about online reviews than Lauren Crenshaw, who is a lobbyist, the director of public policy with Yelp. Lauren, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thanks for having me on, Alan.
It's great
speaking with you.
It's great to have you. Now, you're in D.C. What's the weather like? You used to be a California guy going to Stanford and everything, and now you're in this cold, frigid, blizzardy weather. What's up with that?
That's right. I'd definitely rather be out on the West Coast right now with all of you down in L.A., you know, wearing shorts and a T-shirt. It's about 17 degrees outside right now here in the nation's capital. And, you know, it's only going to get colder as the sun goes down here. So we're definitely bundled up and trying to stay inside and warm for the next few days.
Well, we hope you're warm. We're going to talk a little bit about the right to Yelp. And let's talk about the bill, the right to Yelp bill. That was December 15, 2016. Tell us about that, because some people are real concerned that Yelp reviews go too far. Some of the businesses are really upset. We're going to talk a little bit about how the algorithm that we hear about, the software rankings. But first, before we do, let's talk about freedom of expression, the right to Yelp bill.
Absolutely. So the Right to Yelp bill, also known as the Consumer Review Fairness Act, was signed into law by President Obama, as you said, on December 15, 2016. And that bill really at its core was dealing with non-disparagement clauses in consumer form contracts. And to the point of what you were going to be speaking about with the Indiana Attorney General, it's really about hidden clauses in form contracts that were threatening to fine or otherwise punish an individual for leaving a negative review or statement online. Now, certainly the individual, you know, generally speaking, either doesn't know about this clause or doesn't realize that they have any sort of recourse, and we as Yelp were seeing an uptick in these clauses and contracts around the country, which was one of the reasons that we started advocating on behalf of legislation to deal with this issue in Washington. And actually, the legislation was modeled on a similar bill that was passed in California in late 2014.
Laurent, this is Carrie. Does the bill put an absolute ban on those types of clauses, or does it simply provide that they have to be conspicuous or so that the consumer sees it, or is it an absolute ban?
Right. In regards to a non-negotiable form contract, so if you go to, you know, an auto mechanic, or if you go to your hairdresser, or if you stay at a hotel, in those instances, then you're not allowed to, as a business owner, to include a clause that would otherwise ban the individual's ability to leave commentary, positive or negative, about the business. Now, it's a different matter if it's something, an employment agreement, or if it's a negotiated contract between two parties that have some sort of relevant negotiating power there. But if it's a standard form contract that would generally apply to most businesses that provide goods or services, those kinds of clauses banning the ability to leave reviews are no longer legal.
So no exceptions.
Or aren't legal. I would say that they weren't legal in the first place. Generally, you know, you'd say that they were more than likely contracts of adhesion, the way that they were included, but the law really just clarified that those clauses aren't acceptable in form contracts.
So to be tangible, because a lot of us actually haven't run into this before, of course, when we were going to talk to Curtis Hill, we were going to talk about the Abby Inn case, and that was something that was actually on their website. I don't know if Mr. Hill is aware of whether or not there was an actual contract that they signed, because I have heard him talk about this. It's been in the news, and he wasn't clear on that, but it was on their website where it said, if you leave a negative review, your credit card will be charged $350. What other types of tangible clauses, contracts in services have you seen? Because as a lobbyist, director of public policy for Yelp, I'm sure you're right in the middle of all of this.
Sure. And so, you know, prior, we've seen in instances in other hotels and travel-related lodgings as well, we've seen similar clauses in the past. There was one in New York State that we saw that banned, that actually attempted to fine an individual $500 for a comment that was left by a member of their wedding party. They had a wedding at this hotel, and an individual left a negative review, and the hotel attempted to fine $500 based off of that review, even though it wasn't the bride or groom that left that review, but a member of their wedding party.
What did they say, that the wedding sucked?
They said that the venue sucked.
Oh, okay.
Basically, yeah, that was what they were mostly been out of shape about. But in that instance, we've seen it. Also, we've been made aware of different service industries, such as actually in Florida, there was a lawn sod layer who had a clause in their contract, and then another in regards to an air conditioning repair company that did. And even in Charlotte, North Carolina, there was a clause in certain restaurants, basically, that had parties of six or greater. They had the restaurant inserted clauses stating that they couldn't leave a negative review about the service or about the food that the restaurant provided. But again, it applied only to a party of six or more. So we have seen these clauses around the country from time to time pop up. And then also the one that really initiated the movement to get this legislation passed in the first place involved a company called Clear Gear that fined a Utah couple $3,500 based off of and Clear Gear was a toy company, and they attempted to fine them $3,500 based off of a review that was left about the toy company and the poor quality of the toys that were provided. And then Clear Gear, the company, actually attempted to, or they sent the fine to a credit agency and apparently messed up the couple's credit for years to come, and they had to go to court and go through a multi-year legal process before they were able to get their credit fixed.
So what about the opposite argument, where we see sometimes people say, well, if you leave a positive review on Yelp, we are going to give you free hot dogs, or we're going to give you a great massage if you use a positive review. Are these businesses not bribing people to do that?
We think that, and in those instances, that they should not be doing that. And we at Yelp have actually adopted zero tolerance policy when it comes to any sort of pay-for-play or incentive regime for encouraging people to leave positive reviews. Really, we see the value of our platform as providing an honest aggregate, crowdsourced opinion of a particular business or place, and anything, whether it's artificially inflating or deflating how that business and service would otherwise be perceived, we view as bad. And so, to your point, we strongly discourage businesses from attempting to provide any sort of financial or alternative reward for a positive review. And we've made that very clear in our terms of service.
Laurent, what we hear about most with Yelp is people are upset about the ranking systems. We hear that people say, why are these negative reviews on my Yelp page and the great ones are hidden? Or why does this one get to be at the top and the other one at the bottom? How do you respond? I know this is a question you hear all the time, because that's the main criticism of Yelp. I think a lot of people value Yelp, and they use it for their, to get great service and to get good goods and everything. But at the same time, businesses often will say, why are these crappy reviews at the top and my great reviews are hidden?
Right. And we, as you said, we often get a lot of questions about our recommendation software, and that's the software that's constantly running in the background, analyzing every review that's written and submitted. And it takes a number of different factors into account in regards to the quality of both the review and the individual who is reviewing that particular business. And so sometimes, when people first get on the platform, or perhaps they choose to just write one review and they don't write any other reviews on the platform, or they're new to it, and we refer to those people as being like fly-by-nighters, the software may not know enough about the individual to actually be able to verify that they are a legitimate real person writing a real review. And what we really try to side on in this instance is really about
being able to trust both the review and the reviewers. And
right.
So in that regard, you know, we have the recommendation software, we have a user operations team, and we have individuals within our community that also look at reviews and will flag those that they believe may not be trustworthy.
And you can't, I was going to say, you can't be bribed to get rid of those, right? Because I know a lot of people have tried to do it. We have to take a quick break. Laurent, can you stay with us for a few minutes? We have the Attorney General on hold. Curtis Hill from Indiana is going to talk a little bit about the Abby Inn case. Laurent, can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Japanese airbag maker Takata is recalling an additional 3.3 million faulty airbag inflators as it continues to expand the largest automotive recall in U.S. history. Correspondent Mike Kremitas reports.
The latest recalls cover frontal airbags in certain 2009, 2010, and 2013 vehicles. They're made by Honda, Toyota, Audi, BMW, Daimler Vans, Fiat Chrysler, Ford, General Motors, Jaguar Land Rover, Mazda, Mercedes-Benz, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Subaru, and Tesla. Automakers will provide specific model information and paperwork to be filled out later this month with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. I'm Mike Remedios.
KABC SoCal weather, mostly cloudy this evening and partly cloudy overnight with lows in the 50s. Then Sunday, partly cloudy with highs in the mid-60s to mid-70s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
You need someone to look at your heating and air system, right, Mom?
Yes.
Listen to this. I found it on the testimonials page for the Smell Good Plumbers at MikeDiamond.com. It says, "Dear Mr. Diamond, I was told you're a good boss, and I think you have the best technician. He did great work. I tried to help lift the furnace, but he wouldn't let me, so I talked his arms off. I talked too much, but he loved it, and I loved his professional yet friendly manner. How about that? You better keep him happy. He did a beautiful job putting in the furnace. Put me on his call list. I only want him."
Sounds like she found herself a friend.
I don't know, but she definitely found herself a good repairman. And lots of others have, too. Read some of these.
"I'm Mike Diamond. I guarantee my plumbers will show up on time and smell good, or your house call is free." Read some of the testimonials and book your appointment online at MikeDiamond.com. Contractor's license number 399170.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, what is that music? At least I'm getting some lead-in music. Okay, cool. Is it Cypress Hill? No?
Curtis Hill.
Curtis Hill. You know, we are talking this afternoon about online reviews. We have holding on to the phone Laurent Crenshaw, who's Director of Public Policy at Yelp. And now we want to welcome to the line the 43rd Attorney General of the state of Indiana. He's been in that job for about a year. January 9th will be his first anniversary. Curtis Hill, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. How's it gone for the year? You're almost a year into it, and I know you've written some great blogs. I really enjoyed reading your stuff on legalizing marijuana and your views against it, and criticizing the NFL players for kneeling because you had some other issues that you think are more important. How has it been as the Attorney General of Indiana?
Well, it's been a great opportunity to express some views on a grander scale. My former position was as a prosecuting attorney, and that was a great position. I loved it. But the Attorney General's role in the last year has been a fantastic opportunity to not only defend freedom and promote the types of things such as consumer protections that we do on a regular basis, but also to engage in a greater dialogue on things that are affecting our society and how we can establish conservative principles to correct those measures.
So let's talk a little bit about the Abby Inn case. Now, we talked about it briefly before you got on the line. We talked about that, and we also talked about your role in Guys and Dolls. But what did you play in Guys and Dolls?
I was Benny Southstreet.
Oh, Benny Southstreet. What a great...
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a great role. I have the horse right here. His name's Paul Revere. Okay, talking about Abby Inn, tell us the story, because I know Carrie here wants to talk about the contractor, whatever it was on the website that said that this company that owns the hotels could fine you or at least charge you $350 on your credit card if you provided a bad review about the hotel, and then they did that, and you went as the Attorney General and sued them for that.
Well, we did, and to be clear, we didn't sue them right away. At first, when a complaint of this nature comes in, the first step is to do an investigation to determine what's going on. And one of the more unfortunate aspects of this case was that the owner just would not cooperate with providing us any additional information or assistance in trying to straighten this out. This event occurred in 2016, and we didn't file the action until later in 2017 because we were taking time to try to investigate and get the other side of the story. So that was
Curtis, did you have to stay at the Abbey Inn as part of your investigation?
No, absolutely not.
No.
No, there were there was lots of information. There have been our folks had detailed the information from the complainant and did some corroboration, but no, that wasn't a part of what we needed to do.
Okay.
It's really troubling that, you know, certainly one could look at this as a self-help mechanism, but the reality is, and if you look at the complaint, we have someone who was attempting to stay at this particular location and found nobody there to provide service. That, according to the complainant, the place was virtually inhabitable. And when she received a notification to provide a review, she did so and did so truthfully, and then received a punishment for that, which was a charge to her credit card of $350, which is unconscionable. That's the concern that we have and the lawsuit going forward, that this is a violation of our deceptive practices statute, not fair, and certainly inhibits a consumer's ability to really voice an opinion with regard to the quality of service and product, and also to provide an adequate complaint and remedy.
Well, you know, the question, though, and I want to play devil's advocate here, and I want to ask this to Laurent Crenshaw as well, both of you. If this is a private company who is conducting business the way it wants to conduct business, who are we to tell them that they can't, you know, we're not telling them what furniture to have in the hotel or what beds to have in the hotel or what sheets to have. Why can't they contract with their guests as a private company to tell them that they can't say anything about the company or the service? First, well, Curtis, and then Laurent.
You can contract with someone, and certainly a fairness in the bargaining allows you to contract with great latitude. But that doesn't mean that you can be unfair or set someone up for an inappropriate circumstance. In a particular case like this, where you have someone who's complaining about basic services not being in place, having a contract that says if you complain about it, we charge you. There's no fairness to that concept in our view.
What was deceptive about it?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Well, the deception is to charge someone a set fee, $350, for the inability or for that person to take action in being truthful as to the conditions of the motel.
But if it was part of the contract, how is it deceptive?
Well, I don't believe that it was necessarily part of the contract. My understanding is that it was a part that it was on the website, but it wasn't clearly defined as an appropriate term. It's more along the lines of a fine print situation that most people wouldn't be availing themselves
right
to.
Laurent, how does Yelp deal with stuff like this?
Sure. From Yelp's general perspective, we would really say that, you know, limiting people's ability to share their experiences, whether they're positive or negative, with a particular business really inhibits, you know, their speech, first of all, and their ability to basically to, you know, share their opinion with others. It's really, it almost becomes a matter of public concern, you know, similar to when you're dealing with anti-SLAPP legislation and the challenge there, and oftentimes it's talked about under the concept of a matter of public concern. It's one thing if you're saying that if it's a negotiated circumstance between two parties that have negotiating power, but then at the same time, you know, a lot of information could be contained within that negative review that is relevant to the greater public at large that they would find useful. Certainly if it comes to a lack of service being provided by a particular business or other flaws that are there. And so we at Yelp believe that it's incredibly important and valuable for that information to be made available to the public. And when you have contracts like the one for the Abbey Inn, where, again, as the Attorney General said, it's really maybe even be less of a contract, but in the fine print or on an online site somewhere that may only be referenced in a receipt or whatnot that you have, that in general it is a contract of adhesion, that there isn't it's not properly negotiated between
right
two parties who agree to have a non-disclosure agreement.
And I think, Curtis, isn't that really the point behind the lawsuit? When you talk about, you know, when I said, oh, you know, a private company can do what they want, but I don't even believe that. The fact of the matter is we have to have some standards in advertising, in representations, in marketing, and of course freedom of speech and freedom of expression come in there. And isn't that what's really behind the lawsuit? And tell us a little bit, because we're running against the clock, tell us a little bit about what you think will happen with the lawsuit moving forward.
Well, I think the point here is that a business that sets itself out to have reviews for people to rely on, we would expect those reviews to be truthful. In a situation like this where you ask someone to perform or to provide a review, but there's a condition on it that says, now, if you provide a bad review, we're going to hit you with a $350 fine or fee, that certainly suggests that someone ought to provide a more favorable review instead of a truthful review. And that's where the deception comes in play, because those reviews go out and they're not legitimate, and someone could then come in and basing on that review and predict some inadequate service. From our standpoint, we filed for injunctive relief and it's in court now, and so in terms of where it's going at this point, it's in the hands of a court. I think my understanding is since the last time I saw the case, I believe we may have seen a response from the owner.
Curtis,
I'm not sure on that, but
Curtis,
yes.
This is Carrie. As part of the lawsuit, or maybe it was voluntary, did the Abbey Inn take down part of their website that had this disclosure language? Because I tried to find it this morning, and here's what I found. Oops, the page you were looking for seems to have gone missing. Must be hiding in the Brown County, Indiana woods. Perhaps that's a local joke, but that's what the website says. So I don't know what the language was, but was that part of the lawsuit? Was there some sort of injunction or something requiring them to take it down?
I can't answer that question, and that would have to be something I would check with my staff. I'm not aware of when that was taken down and whether that was taken down even before the lawsuit took place. Those are things that will be sorted out through the litigation that's currently pending.
Before we let you guys go, what would be your best guess as to what will happen with this lawsuit, as it has probably a lot more implications just than simply the Abbey Inn and its website? First, Laurent, and then Curtis.
Well, it's my hope that the Indiana Attorney General's office will succeed in their lawsuit and be able to achieve some sort of injunctive relief from the Abbey Inn in this case. And we do think that I'm glad that that they're using their deceptive practices law in the state to go prosecute this matter. But also, it's my hope that with the victory here, that more businesses will just avoid inserting these clauses altogether. And also with the Consumer Review Fairness Act now being the law of the land nationally, there should be greater awareness that those types of clauses right. are unconscionable and should be avoided altogether.
Curtis?
Form contracts.
Real quick,
well,
Curtis.
It's a situation where it's not right. Our purpose in filing a lawsuit is not only to address the particular allegations of this situation, but also to certainly provide some guidance as to what businesses ought to do from an appropriate standard.
That makes a lot of sense. I wish you both luck. And I want to thank you for being on the show today. For Gervais Law, that's Laurent Crenshaw, Director of Public Policy of Yelp, and, of course, the Attorney General in Curtis Hill in Indiana. After the break, we're going to talk specifically about professionals and reviews. And we have Professor Eric Goldman on, leading expert in internet law, and Dr. Jason Berkley. We're going to talk about reviews for professionals, lawyers and doctors. Don't miss it. You're listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Attention shoppers, clean up on aisle 14. Clean up on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Kosher pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 7979 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 7979.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervais Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, I know this song. Carrie?
I do.
Tell me.
Eye of the Tiger?
Ha ha! Nice.
I thought it was Cypress Hill, maybe.
No, that was last segment. That was Curtis Hill from the Indiana Attorney General's office. In fact, he is the Attorney General, the 43rd Attorney General of Indiana. And we had Director of Public Policy of Yelp. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to welcome to the show Eric Goldman, who is the leading expert in internet law. He is a professor at Santa Clara School of Law. He taught internet law before we even knew what the internet was, back in 95 and 96, and he is very acclaimed in this area. He writes Technology and Marketing Law Blog, which is really interesting, co-authored a marketing law casebook, advertising and marketing law casebook, and he has a website called doctoredreviews.com, which is also interesting. Eric Goldman, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. My pleasure.
It's great to have you. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to a little bit of the last segment, but we want to focus on something that you wrote about, and it was a really great article called Patients Online Reviews of Physicians. It was in 2013. And tell us your views, because I know you are an advocate for freedom of speech and freedom of expression on behalf of patients. And as lawyers, we have to put that in there to clients, because I have a difficult time when I get a bad review. And believe it or not, folks, I know you won't believe it, but I have gotten one or two bad reviews, and I like to respond to them, but I have to be careful because I can't disclose information about the person's case. So tell us if there's any difference between lawyers and doctors who are reviewed, who have these confidentiality issues with their patients and clients, versus the general public.
Just a note, of course, just about everyone who is reviewable online has at least one or two bad reviews.
Oh, so thank you.
I hope you don't take it too personally.
Thank you.
And I hope maybe there was something useful in those reviews, maybe some ideas about ways that you might want to make some tweaks in your practice.
And, Eric, you know, it's interesting. No, that's not true at all. The clients were crazy. But what you do say is important, because I have a chance to respond. And in doing so, I can do my own marketing. I know you're the guru on internet marketing, but I can say something in response to what they say to show that I really am, you know, my firm is a great firm and what they do, and we can promote it that way. So there may be a silver lining there.
Yeah, absolutely. Every negative review is an opportunity both to turn that customer around, and in many cases, the most angry customers become the most passionate advocates if you can handle them correctly, and also to let all the other actual and prospective customers know that you're listening and that you care and that you're willing to stand behind them and to work with them and to fix problems where they need to be fixed. So absolutely, I'm really glad that you are taking that opportunity, and that's actually one of the key pieces of advice for all professionals. You asked the question, is there a difference between doctors and lawyers when it comes to reviews? And both of them are covered by confidentiality obligations with respect to their clients. There are other professional service providers who have other types of confidentiality duties, for example, accountants and psychologists and a bunch of others as well. So really, I do think the category of professional service providers who have confidentiality obligations to their clients all face the concerns, what happens when you have a review that you want to respond to? What can you say and what can't you?
What can you say?
Well, let's start with the basics. You cannot reveal any client confidences, and in many cases, that means you can't debate the facts. Now, many of the types of things that clients might comment about are not confidential at all. They might complain about the parking, say there's not enough parking here. And it's totally fine for a professional service provider to say, well, you know, there's another parking lot down the street if you haven't tried it.
Take Uber.
So there's certainly the ability to respond to the non-confidential objections and not respond to the confidential objections. And then what you described before is absolutely fair game to say, I'm not going to discuss any personal situation, but let me explain to you, here's some of the things that we've done in our practice generally, or here's some of the areas that we have expertise on. It's totally fair game to talk about generalities.
You know, we want to bring on the line Dr. Jason Berkley, because I think he has a different approach to this. I understand what you're saying, and, you know, you come from, I think, a very solid background in terms of the internet and the freedom of expression. But some people really feel frustrated by the fact that they can't really say what they want to when they're a doctor or a lawyer. Jason Berkley is a doctor here in LA, and a very fine one. If I had to review Dr. Jason Berkley, I would give him 5 stars, even if there was, the top was 4 stars, and say that he's an excellent doctor. But Dr. Berkley, tell us a little bit about your experience and why it's frustrating for a doctor.
Of course. Thank you for having me on, Alan. I appreciate it. One of the biggest frustrating aspects of online reviews, like especially particularly with Yelp, and I'm going to refer to what the Attorney General said when he indicated that certain businesses have put themselves out there for reviews. Neither myself nor any of my medical colleagues ever voluntarily went on Yelp or any of these review sites to be reviewed. This was something that our names were thrust on there and without our knowledge, and these reviews just started popping up. So that's first and foremost. The second thing is that oftentimes, because the Internet still is pretty much the Wild West, and believe me, I'm all for free speech. I have no problem with free speech. I'm a big Howard Stern fan, so I mean, I have no problem with people voicing their opinions.
Bruce Springsteen, too, I think.
And Springsteen, of course. But the thing is that, when it comes to this type of venue, our hands are tied. There have been reviews made by, particularly from myself, patients, people have never even seen me as a patient, who may have called the office, asked about a billing policy, and then wrote a negative review, and I never even saw them. I know for a fact that there have been people that have made comments about other colleagues negatively to try to impact their businesses negatively.
Eric, how do you respond to Jason?
Certainly there's a range of different reviews in terms of legitimacy. A long-standing client who talks about their deep experience is going to have a lot more credibility than someone who called, couldn't even get an appointment, and then reviews that. And then I would put the fake reviews, the competitor gaming reviews, in a different category. At that point now, we have an abuse of the system, and there's a variety of ways to address those abuses of the system, but they're really in a different bucket than the review from someone who called, couldn't get employment, lose a review about that. Not very insightful, but still might be truthful.
But here's the thing. If I go on there as a physician because of HIPAA guidelines, and I even acknowledge that somebody is my patient publicly, I'm violating HIPAA and subject to a potential lawsuit. And so the problem is that when I've called Yelp and I've said to them, one patient left a rambling set of lies for a review against me. I called them up and I said, this is not true. This is not what happened. None of this happened. None of it was true at all. They said, sorry, that's what the patient said. Those are the facts. There's no recourse. Secondly, they then have proceeded to email me and bombard me to pay for their service. And so my question is, what do I get for paying for the service? See, the thing is, hospitals where I work and most of the legitimate hospitals, they have patient satisfaction surveys. They have different modes that are being made public to be able to have patients give a voice and be able to produce it in a productive arena. Doing it on a website where you can get a good piece of sushi or a landscaper is not appropriate. And the problem is we cannot respond.
Well, we only have a couple minutes to respond, so let's get Eric really quickly. We're approaching the top of the hour. Eric.
I think that I'm glad that there's new information being surfaced about doctors, patient satisfaction surveys. But to say that consumer reviews aren't a helpful supplement and complement to those is something I completely disagree with. I want to hear in the patient's voice their experiences. I also want to hear it through the filtered channels, like the patient surveys. So I look at this as a range of information that helps consumers make better decisions. Any one tool may not be perfect, but the aggregation of tools should help us make better choices.
But how do you separate out the abusive, anonymous people who aren't even patients, like we heard about?
Yeah, we have a lot of evidence that suggests that consumers are pretty good at segregating out the outlier reviews, that they can recognize them as outliers and give them the appropriate lack of credence. So really, I think as long as there's enough reviews to help paint a complete portrait, the outliers end up being exactly that.
Eric, are there any organizations or any movements that are supporting what Jason Berkley is saying to talk about trying to have certain limitations on professional services?
Not that I am aware of, if I understood your question correctly, but I do want to point out, as Dr. Berkley pointed out, that there are movements to create other sources of information to help guide consumers through their choices. And so I look at consumer reviews as actually one of only several tools that consumers are going to be consulting in their decision-making.
Jason, is that satisfactory to you, or where do we go from here?
And I'll tell you why. I actually read Mr. Goldman's article, which I thought was great up until its conclusion, because there have been numerous studies. See, healthcare is a different, complete different ballgame than it is
regarding... 30 seconds. 30 seconds left in the game.
Patient satisfaction does not drive appropriate healthcare. And so what we found is that unless patients are able to have an actual arena to voice their proper opinion where it can be constructive, not on an anonymous website, in that sense, it's just not really going
to... We're
going
to have to leave it there. Dr. Jason Berkley, thanks so much. Appreciate you being on Gervie's Law.
You.
Eric Goldman, professor at Santa Clara School of Law, thank you for being with us. And, of course, Carrie Garvis Wright, what a great job. I really enjoyed having you as my co-host today.
Thanks for being
here from Glaser Weil. Hopefully you'll come back and tell us a little bit more about all your activities over at Glaser Weil and your cases. Appreciate it.
Would love to. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us, and thanks for listening today to Gervie's Law. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.